Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loftin.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York.
This place is pandemonium!
Picked off by Leotis McKelvin at the 35-yard line. Leotis, my man!
This is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the podcast, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for Thursday, January 23rd, our final day at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Thanks for tuning in. Podcast tonight because of hockey on the radio. Thanks very much for listening. We've been here all this week, Monday through Thursday, bringing you coverage of the Senior Bowl and coverage of the events surrounding the Buffalo Bills. We'll continue to do that tonight. We're going to hear from Mike Pettine, the former Bills defensive coordinator, in just a moment. He's the brand new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Mike Mayock from the NFL Network, the color analyst on the Senior Bowl game. He'll be joining us for an interview in just a few minutes. We're going to talk to one of the intriguing prospects in Saturday's game. He's had an outstanding week here at the Senior Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback from Eastern Illinois, who's had an outstanding week after having a good week last week at the East-West Shrine Game. All of that, all the Bills news and commentary from the Senior Bowl coming up over the next few minutes here on the podcast, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Well, the news of the day did not happen here in Mobile. In fact, the man of the hour, Mike Pettine, left Mobile, Alabama early this morning en route to Cleveland. And after a couple of little short travel delays, Mike Pettine arrived in Cleveland and was introduced as the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He leaves the Buffalo Bills after just 1 year as defensive coordinator. Pettine takes over a Cleveland team that struggled to win just four games last year, a team that fired its head coach, Rob Chudzinski, after one season on the job, but he has the job. We talked with Mike Pettine earlier this week here in Mobile, and he told us on Monday of this week that he was very interested in the job. We relayed that. He told us on Monday that it is a dream job, and regardless of what we might think about the Cleveland situation, it was going to be very difficult for him to turn it down, so he took it today at his introductory news conference in Berea, Ohio, just outside Cleveland this afternoon. Mike Pettine said he had bittersweet thoughts about leaving the Buffalo Bills after just 1 year.
It's a bittersweet thing for me to leave there. I had such a tremendous year there with that organization, led by Ralph Wilson, Russ Brandon, Doug Whaley, and then I especially want to thank Doug Marrone. He opened my eyes to a lot of things about this league. He helped me greatly through the interview process. And I just learned so much football, just the and probably more importantly the non-football stuff from Doug. He was tremendous for me.
Mike Pettine, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, after his news conference in Cleveland today. The Bills issued a statement. Doug Marrone issued a statement late this afternoon saying, quote, "I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Mike on becoming the Browns' new head coach. Thank him for all of his time and efforts with our team this past season. He did an excellent job of improving our defense. We wish him the best." Marrone continued, "We have a plan in place and we will introduce our new defensive coordinator after our final decision has been made." If you've been listening to our show here this week in Mobile, you know that the Bills have said, both Doug Whaley and Doug Marrone have said, they have a plan and they're going to now be able to finally execute that plan after the long delay by the Cleveland Browns and getting their coaching job set. So the plan we anticipate is in place. There are a number of names being thrown out there for consideration as defensive coordinator to replace Mike Pettine, but no news on that yet. We'll keep you posted on that, of course, on the website, BuffaloBills.com, and our show as we broadcast live from Orchard Park tomorrow. So there was a report out there that the Browns had requested permission to talk with Bills linebackers coach Jim O'Neill about taking over as the defensive coordinator on Mike Pettine's new staff in Cleveland. No confirmation of that report and nothing from the Buffalo Bills on that. There was a report earlier today that Pettine wanted to talk with Alex Van Pelt, the former Bills coach and quarterback, who now coaches the running backs with the Green Bay Packers, about taking over his offense in Cleveland, becoming the offensive coordinator with the Browns. And a later report said that Van Pelt turned him down. He is elected to stay with Green Bay and, in fact, is going to move over and coach the quarterbacks with the Green Bay Packers, coaching Aaron Rodgers. Pretty good job for Alex Van Pelt. So the musical chairs are moving at this late date. Almost 4 weeks after the Cleveland Browns and Buffalo Bills seasons ended, the Browns finally get moving on a head coach and hire their man. Unfortunately for the Bills, it is Mike Pettine, the Bills' defensive coordinator. Lots of opinions on this. We'll talk about it when we can interact on the radio show tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. There's no question it's a setback for the Buffalo Bills, especially troubling since the Bills had really taken some big steps forward on the defensive side of the ball this past year. 10th-ranked defense this past year, among the league leaders in interceptions and sacks. But all that being said, it's really the players who are making the difference here, and the players will, for the most part, remain intact going into next season. And we'll see what they come up with as far as a defensive coordinator. We'll see if there are any other changes to the Bills coaching staff. The dust now begins to settle after the Browns took their time all week long. It was very frustrating all week long to watch the Cleveland Browns kind of agonize over this decision. There was one comment made at the Cleveland news conference today that came from Joe Banner, the Browns CEO, and he was asked about reports that Dan Quinn of Seattle was a candidate. Banner said it was the toughest decision they had to make in this whole process, deciding not to wait for Quinn to be able to talk to them about the job. Quinn, of course, is tied up with Seattle as they get ready for the Super Bowl. I got thinking about that. What an odd way that is to approach this. I mean, if at least to say it publicly, typically in these situations, teams will go to great lengths to say, this is our guy. This is a guy we really like. They've almost put a cloud over Mike Pettine's head by saying, we really wanted to talk to Dan Quinn. We weren't able to get him, so, oh, well, here's Mike Pettine. I just can't believe the Cleveland Browns would do that, but there's been things all week that I have not been able to believe that the Cleveland Browns have been able to get away with. And the other thing, and this bears thinking about, too, especially as it pertains to Dan Quinn, if San Francisco had won that close NFC Championship game this past Sunday, and if Seattle was free and Dan Quinn was free to talk to the Cleveland Browns, would he have been their hire? And would the fortunes of the Buffalo Bills been altered at all this week with that move in Cleveland? Something to think about. As it turned out, Seattle won, Quinn was tied up, and the Bills lose their defensive coordinator. It's funny the way the game goes. We'll have more on Mike Pettine. We want to hear your reaction to the Mike Pettine news when we go live on the radio tomorrow night, 7 to 9, on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. We are here in Mobile, Alabama, for our final broadcast of the week. The Senior Bowl game coming up Saturday at 4 p.m., North versus South, on the NFL Network. The last few days, the NFL Network has been set up shop at Ladd-Peebles Stadium, watching the practices for both the North and the South. And one of the anchors of that broadcast is a guy who's the color analyst on the Thursday night NFL package on the NFL Network. He'll be the color man on the broadcast of the Senior Bowl game this Saturday. Mike Mayock, who we got a chance to sit down with, and we asked Mike Mayock for this week at the Senior Bowl and what he thinks about the pool of talent here in Mobile. You know, I came here not knowing what to expect. Yep. I saw a lot of good talent here.
You know, there were some initial disappointments, some of the guys that chose not to compete. But I think the thing about the Senior Bowl is it brings out the best in a player. And you're in fully padded 2 days in a row. Competition comes out. I thought Gus Bradley and his staff did a great job. I thought Mike Smith and their staff. I thought the pace was great. And I went back and spent about 5 hours this morning watching the tape of the practices all week long. And there was some pretty good football played.
Hey, Mike, the Bills come down here looking possibly at some big wide receivers. They got an eyeful of Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt. Talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we all know it's mostly probably a junior-heavy wide receiver draft this year, but I thought he was the best wide receiver in the game. I like his size. He's almost 6'3", 209. He caught, 262 balls, I think, in the SEC. That's the best ever. But what's nice about him is his toughness and his hands. And he's not gonna beat you with speed, but he's going to beat you with his body type, his toughness, and his hands.
The guy that impressed me, I'd like your take on the BYU receiver, Cody Hoffman, who made a big catch in some of the practices, including the one today. And if you're looking for a big receiver, he's about as big as you want.
He's a big, good-looking, strong kid. Now, my concern with him is I think he's kind of a one-speed guy. I don't see him getting in and out of breaks as well as I'd like to. But outside the numbers and in the red zone, back shoulder throws, fades, he's got great size. He can go up and get it.
Who else caught your eye during this practice week?
I think the two guys from the North that caught my eye were Aaron Donald from Pitt, who I was really excited to see, and his explosive first step I kind of knew about, but his power was something that people were concerned about, and I thought he held up really well against the run game. Zach Martin from Notre Dame, I knew he was a technician. I knew he could play. I figured he could play all five positions, but I think he kind of confirmed the fact that he's going to be a top 20 type of player. And the front of the South, there's a bunch of good-looking guys in that defense. defensive front on the south. And I think Derek Carr came in as, you know, who's going to be the first senior quarterback. I think Derek Carr was the favorite, and I think he kept his status.
One of the Bills' personnel people told me they thought there was a sprinkling of first-rounders here, but mostly second- to fifth-round guys. Is that your impression?
You know, last year there were 10 first-rounders here, yeah, and several in the top 10. Some of the kids that dropped out late out of this game were that kind of player. I think you'll see 4 to 6 first-round picks out of this. A couple of the guys I already mentioned, like Zach Martin, for sure. I think Aaron Donald is a borderline first. I think Derek Carr could sneak into the first. You know, I think the tackle from Virginia is a first or second-round kid. So I think somewhere 4 to 6.
These players have made their impressions all week long in practice. Now the game coming up on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern on the NFL Network. What can they do to bolster their resume in the actual game on Saturday?
Just dot the I, yeah, you know, finish the week. I think it's an anomaly because the practices are probably a little bit more important, sure, than the games. But just because all the coaches and GMs leave doesn't mean they're not watching the tape of the game, because trust me, they are. So they're going to come back, watch the tape of the game, and special teams is kind of interesting in the game. Which player will step up and actually tackle and block on special teams?
Mike Mayock, who is pretty obvious by the time we get to the combine, or very much so for the draft, and May 8th, he will have a handle on all of these prospects, but some good insights into some of the top prospects here at the Senior Bowl this week. You know, we've been around, we've been to most all of the practices this week here in Mobile, except for the ones that conflict, and we've made some observations here. Now, let me tell you the truth, I'm not a scout, but I have come up with some of my favorite players here in Mobile this week, some of the intriguing prospects that I want to run by you. I've come up with my top five Senior Bowl prospects, my top five favorite players from each side. Let's start with the South team. And when you look at the quarterbacks on the South team, there's no question David Carr is head and shoulders above the rest of the class here in Mobile. By far the best quarterback, by far the most accomplished quarterback in the game as far as what he's done in his collegiate career. The Fresno State quarterback, you know his story. It's Derek Carr who's here, by the way. David Carr is his brother. You know Derek Carr's story. His brother David was in 2002 the first overall draft pick in the draft for the Houston Texans. But Derek Carr, I think, has a nice mixture. Temperamentally, he seems very confident, almost approaching cockiness. He's got a humble side when it comes to talking about his personal journey to this game. And I think Derek Carr also has the tools, a very strong arm, a pretty good stature. He's not going to overwhelm you with size, but a pretty big guy. And you know, he throws the ball extremely well. He seemed to be extremely accurate today. Really looking forward to seeing what Derek Carr does in the game on Saturday. His teammate at quarterback, we're going to hear from him in just a few minutes, Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback from Eastern Illinois. He really has kind of become the darling, I guess, of the media here at the Senior Bowl. Had an outstanding week last week at the Shrine Game in St. Petersburg, Florida. Got the invite last Thursday to come here to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, replacing A.J. McCarron, the Alabama quarterback. And he's just kind of stepped right in place. The 6'3", 222-pounder, native of the Chicago area, really hoping that Jimmy Garoppolo gets a lot of reps and a lot of snaps in the game on Saturday. My favorite player maybe the whole week is a running back from Georgia Southern, Jerick McKinnon. He is not big. He is not going to pound it between the tackles, but he consistently found the edge in this game, cut up field. He made a couple of plays in the passing game. I really encourage you to keep an eye on Jerick McKinnon, who played quarterback for the most part in a wishbone offense at Georgia Southern. 5'9", 215-pounder. He will deliver a blow when they come up to tackle him. Keep an eye on him, number 24 on the South on Saturday. The Bills came here, we believe, looking at big receivers. There were a couple that caught my eye on the South team. Jordan Matthews, by all accounts, has been the standout of all the receivers here. He is the Vanderbilt product. He'll wear number 87 for the South team in the game. Jordan Matthews, 6'3", 206-pounder. Not a great practice for him. The first practice we saw on Monday, by the end of the week, by Thursday's practice anyway, he was nearly dominant, I thought, at the wide receiver spot. Great combination of size. The speed is going to be a factor. I can't wait to see his stopwatch speed from the combine coming up in February, but I think Jordan Matthews is one of the top guys to watch in this game. And another receiver, and this guy is even bigger than Jordan Matthews, also on the South squad. He wears number 2 from BYU, Cody Hoffman, 6'4", 210-pounder. He made some great plays going up to get the ball thrown high in the air. I think Cody Hoffman could be an intriguing prospect. We're not talking first-rounders here, folks, but Cody Hoffman is a guy, maybe a fourth-rounder, maybe a little bit lower, who I think could really make a difference, especially in the red zone. He did it in practice that we watched today. On the North team, I don't think quite as much talent on the North squad, and maybe some of the best talent on the North was on the defensive side of the ball.
ball. I really liked what we saw from Chris Borland from Wisconsin. He was our guest on the radio show on Wednesday night. Chris Borland, if he were 2 inches taller, he'd be a surefire first-round draft pick, and that may not be the case. Listed at 5'11", he might be a shade shorter than that, but very smart, seems to see things quickly, diagnoses plays well, compared in a lot of quarters to Zach Thomas, who went on to have a standout Pro Bowl career with the Miami Dolphins. His teammate on the North team, also at linebacker, Michael Sam from Missouri. They had him lined up most of the time on the outside, and I thought Michael Sam did a great job showing himself a lot, very physical player. I think Michael Sam is a guy to watch in the game. I think defensive end Errol Donald from Pitt, by all accounts, had a great week here. Defensive end, he can go inside and play defensive tackle as well. He'll wear number 97 in the game on Saturday. On the offensive side of the ball for the North squad, I thought Zach Martin was far and away the best offensive lineman at this week of practice. The Notre Dame offensive lineman who's got size and really good feet and a great temperament. I think he played left tackle at Notre Dame. More likely to play, I would believe, an inside at the guard. And I think if you project him onto the Buffalo Bills roster, you could do a lot worse than having Zach Martin line up and play left guard for you next year. And finally, one other receiver who is not going to play in the game, unfortunately, but he's had an outstanding week. Shaquel Evans of UCLA. He started his career at Notre Dame and then transferred back home out west to UCLA. Shaquel Evans, I think, is almost a little bit like, in my mind, like a poor man's Robert Woods. Good combination, it seems, of speed, pretty good size, but more importantly, just a fluid route runner, a guy who was able to get downfield on several occasions and make a few plays, seemed to get good separation from defensive backs. I thought Shaquel Evans was a pretty good player. Unfortunately, he will not play in the game on Saturday as he came up with an injury late in the week. A couple of other favorites, guys that I like just talking to and watching him work. Defensive end Trent Murphy from Stanford. I think he may be out of position here in the Senior Bowl. He may belong somewhere else than the way the Atlanta Falcons coaching staff had him lined up in this game, but keep an eye on him. And, of course, the local product, David Fluellen from University of Toledo, the Lockport High School product who we had on the show way back on Monday of this week. David Fluellen got better as the week went along, still coming off a severely broken ankle that occurred just last October. You could tell early in the week he wasn't used to running and wasn't used to testing that ankle. By the end of the week, he looked much smoother. So we look forward to watching David Fluellen in the game on Saturday. Just my thoughts on who to look at the game on Saturday as we take a look forward to the Senior Bowl, 4 p.m. kickoff on the NFL Network on Saturday. It is the John Murphy Show, and coming up next, we're going to talk with the quarterback I mentioned earlier, Jimmy Garoppolo, who went to Eastern Illinois University. He was recruited by a couple of schools. He had offers to walk on at some Big Ten schools, but decided to go and play and start for 4 years at Eastern Illinois. We sat down with him earlier today to talk about his week this week, his week last week at the Shrine Game. Jimmy Garoppolo, when we return, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama on Buffalo Bills Radio. Are you a coffee lover? Well, at NOCO Express, they don't just fill up your car, they fill up your cup also. Try a cup of World Cup coffee, now available at most NOCO Express locations. It's perfect for your morning commute or your lunch break as an afternoon pick-me-up. World Cup coffee provides the quality and taste you'd expect from a high-end coffee shop, but they filtered out the high-end price. For a complete list of stores featuring World Cup coffee, visit noco.com/coffee. World Cup coffee, coffee done right. Welcome back to the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. One of the standouts here at the Senior Bowl this week joins us now, quarterback from Eastern Illinois, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy, thank you very much for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
A whirlwind couple of weeks for you. East-West Shrine Game down in St. Petersburg last week, and you find yourself here in Mobile this week. Is this the way you had it all planned out?
not exactly, but you got to roll with the punches, really. I mean, if you get an opportunity to play in the Senior Bowl like this, you got to take it. I mean, it's a great opportunity to play with the best players in the nation.
When did you know that you were coming here to Mobile? When did you get that word?
It was late in the week last week. Leading up to the East-West game, I thought that was my only All-Star game. But, everything happens for a reason, and I'm glad to be here, really.
Were you on notice that there was a chance, A.J. McCarron who pulled out of this game, that there was a chance that you might be coming here, too?
I heard rumors, but, I couldn't worry about it too much because I was just worried about learning that offense at the East-West, performing well there, really. So it was one of those things that you can't worry about because I couldn't control it anyways.
Last week, let's talk about the East-West Shrine game. You had a very good game. Statistically, you did not start the game, correct? But you came in and played pretty well.
Correct, yeah. Jordan Lynch started the game. And I came in second, so we had a little rotation going on, so I thought I was going to play a little more, and to be honest, it was weird not starting. Haven't not started a game in a while, so getting adjusted to that was weird, but we got in a quick rhythm offensively.
And when you got in the game, things went well for you. Was it going well all week during practice down there at St. Petersburg? Did you feel like you were kind of leading toward that performance?
Yeah. I mean, initially it's always hard to learn an offense the first day and go out there and perform, but, you know, every day we just progressively got better as a unit, and, we got a real good feel for each other, me and the receivers, and the O-line played great the whole game. I don't know if they gave up a sack at all. And when the whole unit's performing like that and becoming a team, it makes my job that much easier.
It strikes me here watching these practices here in Mobile, and I wasn't there in St. Petersburg last week, but it strikes me how hard it must be to put an offense or a defense, but in your case, an offense together in the space of a week. I know they dumb it down, they keep it simple, but still, there's a lot of moving parts on offense.
There's a lot of moving parts. In order for us to be successful, they did have to dumb it down a little bit and make the verbiage a little less. But, you know, it's difficult. And not only learning the offense, but learning the players around you. I mean, you have to know how these receivers play, how they run routes, and, you know, just getting used to all that stuff. It comes together at the end of the week, though.
And, Jimmy, as a quarterback, that really falls on you, doesn't it, out there during the game anyway? And even during practice, you've got to be the one that kind of brings everybody together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the quarterback, it comes with the position. You get all the blame, you get all the glory and everything. So, I mean, that's just – it's part of the position, really. And, you know, it's our job to bring the team together and make us a unit in a very short span of time.
Talking with Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile from Eastern Illinois, a starter all 4 years at Eastern Illinois. All 4 years you played, you started essentially every game.
Initially I was told I was going to redshirt. 4 games into the season, they pulled my redshirt, and I was starting there ever since then. So.
You grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what took you to Eastern Illinois?
I wasn't recruited very heavily out of high school, so the FBS schools all wanted me to walk on. Didn't want to really do that. I wanted to get a scholarship somewhere and have the opportunity to play, really. And Eastern really gave me that opportunity to play initially. And the coaching staff there was just so honest with me. Great group of guys. And those two things really brought me there.
I know it was 4 years ago, but was that a tough decision to maybe choose to go to a smaller place, and not – could you be blinded by the bright lights of, hey, maybe I get a chance to walk on at Illinois or someplace?
It was difficult to accept, really. Initially, my junior going into my senior year, it was hard to accept. I wasn't a Big Ten guy. I was more of an FCS guy. So, I mean, everything happens for a reason, though, and I'm ecstatic about my decision to go to Eastern, really. It worked out great for me.
What were some of the highlights of your playing time down there? What were some of your favorite games and some of your best games?
Obviously winning back-to-back OVC championships, that was unbelievable. And then our first game of my senior season, we beat San Diego State in the Chargers Stadium. That'll be a memorable game for the rest of my life, really. And the run that we made in the conference, we went undefeated this year, and it was a fun run.
FCS first team All-American this past year. That had to feel pretty good that you're getting, you know, that kind of national recognition at that level.
Yeah. I mean, it's always nice to get the awards at the end of the season, but, we didn't finish the way we wanted to in the playoffs, and that was a little disappointing, but, you know, it's a learning experience, really.
Jimmy, when did you start thinking about a chance to play in the NFL? Is that something just this past year or even a couple of years ago?
I'd say about midway through my sophomore season, a little after that maybe, it really became a reality for me. Coaches started telling me to prepare myself for things like that and just get ready for the whirlwind that they knew it was coming, but I really had no idea, to be honest. So, I mean, once scouts started coming to practice and everything, you know, you get an idea, and it starts to become a reality.
And how did you prepare yourself these last 2 years to have a chance to play in the NFL?
Just working hard on and off the field. I mean, just that's the quarterback mindset that you have to have, first one in, last one out. And I put in the time, put in the work on and off the field, and it really attributed to my success.
This week, as you get here, and now you're, you know, as you were last week, playing with guys from bigger schools, bigger conferences, you must feel like you fit in based on what you've done in practice here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. These scouts, everyone says that I played with lesser competition, which probably did at the FCS level compared to the FBS, but, we're all professionals now. No one's in the college ranks anymore, so I just got to go out there and prove every day that I belong and that I could even stand out a little bit.
I want to ask you about some of the receivers you've been throwing to here this week, and a guy that has got our attention, Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt. What do you think of him?
It's unbelievable. I could tell why he got your attention. I mean, that guy – he could go up and make some plays on the ball. And if you throw a bad ball, he'll go and make you look good doing it. So, you know, it's great having that on the outside.
And you know what I've noticed? We were at the Monday practice. We've been at all of your practices this week. It seems like the communication is better, the cohesion between you and all of the receivers, including Jordan Matthews. There were a couple instances Monday when you could tell it's the first time on the field for these guys. Now, by Wednesday, yesterday, it seems like that's all taken care of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Monday, it was just getting back into the groove of things. Some of these guys haven't put pads on in over a month. So just getting back into the groove of football shape is so hard, and you can't plan for it really. But, yeah, that cohesiveness just every day got better and better in the tempo of our offense. So it's just one of those things you got to take it day by day, really.
I'd like to get your take on another receiver who's caught my eye, Cody Hoffman, number two from BYU. What do you think of him?
That's a big body receiver right there. He could pass as a tight end in some people's books. So, I mean, he goes up just like Jordan, though. He uses his body well. He goes up and makes plays on the ball, and he runs great routes, really.
Can you tell that we're focused on the big receivers here as we try to anticipate what the Buffalo Bills might be looking at? But that's really, you know, that's the way the league goes. Bigger receivers, I think. A lot of people are looking for that red zone target.
Exactly, because, I mean, those corners, if you get a big body receiver out there and a lot of people are starting to split out the tight ends and use them out there as receivers, I mean, it's just a mismatch waiting to happen. And it's just the quarterback's job, give them a catchable ball and let them go make a play on it, really.
Jimmy Garoppolo, our guest from Eastern Illinois, quarterback here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. What are your attributes? What do you think you bring to this position that would translate well to the NFL?
I bring a lot of knowledge for the game. I'm one of those guys who I like to know why I'm doing something. I like to know the ins and outs of the offense and defense. So, I mean, that, just those little things here and there, they really add to your arsenal and make you that much better of a player.
It's been said, I read this about you and I've noticed it this week, you get rid of the ball pretty quickly. You seem to have a pretty quick release.
Yeah. Just a lot of repetition, a lot of muscle memory stuff. I used to have a really elongated release actually back in when I first started playing in high school. And, it changed rapidly in a matter of a couple of years, really. And so, it's always nice to have a quick release, get the ball out of your hands and not take a sack.
Who have you leaned on to work on those quarterback mechanics up to this point? Who do you go to for that?
Back in the day when I was in high school and a little bit of college, Coach Christensen, Jeff Christensen, he's a local, he played in the NFL for 6 years, local quarterback guru up in the Chicagoland area. He really fine-tuned my throwing technique. I was a baseball player growing up, so I had that long baseball release. And, he fixed me up and taught me a little thing or two along the way.
And what about here this week? Who do you find, whose advice, whose coaching has worked out pretty well here?
Just the whole coaching staff in general from the Jaguars. I mean, they're a very knowledgeable staff. A lot of experience on that staff. And, I mean, Coach Frank and Coach Fish, the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, they're just filling us with knowledge every day. And it's one of those things you got to take it, absorb as much as you can, and make it a part of your game, really, because, I mean, that's how you become successful in this league.
I mean, it's a pretty regular rotation to practice between you and Derek Carr and the quarterbacks on the South team. How do you anticipate it'll go on Saturday? Have they given you an indication yet of how they're going to use quarterbacks?
No indication yet. But, I would assume it's we're all going to get a third of the game. There's three of us, so it's hard to split up evenly, but if someone's got the hot hand at the end of the game, I'm sure they'll go with him. And, if we have to go on a two-minute drive, you have to go on a two-minute drive.
You were telling me this morning, Thursday morning here in Mobile, you and the rest of the Senior Bowl players made a visit to a Mobile school and had some quality time with some local school kids.
Yeah. Just recently got back from that. Got to we were in a gym class with them, dancing around, doing push-ups, sit-ups and everything. So, I mean, the kids had a blast. You could tell they were real energetic about it. And then you get to the kindergarten classrooms, and those kids are stunned to see you. So, it's fun to go there. I get a kick out of going with the kids and just experiencing that, really.
Are you aware, Jimmy, that because of the fact that you played and played well in the Shrine Bowl and then you've had a good week of practice here, you are kind of one of the buzz guys here among the draft experts, people who have noticed what you've done last week and this week? Are you aware of all that going on outside the Senior Bowl cocoon that you're in right here?
Well, when you guys tell me, I become aware of it.
Take my word for it.
Yeah, I will. But, I've heard good things. I try not to focus on that too much because it's just a distraction, really, if you start looking at the online, the newspaper clippings and whatever. So, I mean, it's cool and everything. My parents get a huge kick out of it back home, but it's kind of a distraction, so I try not to focus on it too much.
What's next for you after Senior Bowl week? What's the rest of your spring look like here?
Going back to Los Angeles. That's where I've been trained. I started training before the East-West game, and I'll go back to the API out there, just getting combine shape, really. Work on my football mechanics, throwing mechanics, running the 40, all that stuff. There's a big stretch coming up here for me, and I got to get back in combine shape, really.
And combine shape is probably a little bit different than bowl game shape that you've been, all-star game shape you've been in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the all-star, it's been tough staying in shape here. Tough to find time to work out. I've only probably worked out a couple times these last 2 weeks, and you know, they're not the type of workouts I'd like. So it's going to be nice to get back there and just get focused on the combine again.
Last question for you. What quarterback do you look at as maybe a potential career role model? Who would you like to pattern yourself after as you pursue this NFL thing?
You know, Tom Brady. He's always been a guy, ever since I was a little kid, really, I've just really just admired everything, how he handles the game, how he handles the media. I mean, he's a real professional about it. And if I could have half the career that he's having, I mean, I'd be in good shape, and I'd be very happy with that.
Well, you've had a heck of a couple of weeks last week in this, and I'm sure great things in the future for you, Jimmy. Thank you very much for coming by. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback from Eastern Illinois, our guest. We continue on the John Murphy Show from Mobile, Alabama on Buffalo Bills Radio. Winter is here and the weather is cold. Stop into your nearest NoCo Express and warm up with World Cup Coffee. It's the perfect cup of warmth for your morning commute or your evening ride home. World Cup Coffee provides the quality and taste you'd expect from a high-end coffee shop without the high-end price. They also provide a world of flavors to choose from, like French vanilla, hazelnut, Costa Rican, or 100% Colombian. For a complete list of NoCo Express stores featuring World Cup Coffee, visit noco.com/coffee. World Cup Coffee, coffee done right. Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NoCo. We're coming to you tonight, Thursday night, from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, as we wrap up our coverage of this week in Mobile. Tomorrow night, we will be live in the studio in Buffalo, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., with more Senior Bowl information and more on the Mike Patton situation. Mike Patton, if you've missed it, you probably haven't, was named today as the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, a news conference coming in mid-afternoon in Cleveland. After 1 year as defensive coordinator with the Buffalo Bills, Mike Patton makes the move to the Cleveland Browns, and as we said, much more on that. It will impact the Bills. There's no question about that, but they will move forward. And as we said, the Bills head coach Doug Marrone and general manager Doug Whaley mentioned to us several times during the week that they have a plan. They're going to execute that plan. What was really driving them crazy as the week went along was the delays from the Cleveland Browns and making their decision, pulling the trigger on a head coach. That has finally happened, and we'll see what the plan is for the Buffalo Bills moving forward for a defensive coordinator. We know what their plan is moving forward at quarterback, and they said it when the season ended at the season-ending news conference on the Monday after the New England game. They reaffirmed it today, their commitment to E.J. Manuel as their starting quarterback moving forward. In fact, Doug Whaley was very strong talking about E.J. Manuel as their guy. Even stronger was Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills' offensive coordinator, who loves to work with E.J. Manuel. We talked with Nathaniel Hackett Wednesday night on the radio show, and he talked about his commitment and the team's commitment to E.J. Manuel as the starting quarterback going into the 2014 season.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, EJ did some great things this year. I think anytime you're dealing with a rookie quarterback, it's going to be a roller coaster. I mean, it's the first time he's seen a lot of things, and it's going to be not the last that he's going to see a lot of things, but he does a great job at learning from those things. And, I mean, you saw it with that Jet game. I mean, he plays the Jets the first time, and he struggled, and he knows it. We were still in it. But then he comes back and plays them again, and he had a much better feel, was much more confident. I think as you see him get more confident with the system, with what he's doing, I think that's just going to make him better and better, and we need to fully commit to that, and that's what we're doing.
What does he need to do to be better this year? What would you like to see him do better?
I think just learn the system even better. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was doing a great job, and then I think when he got injured that first time, it kind of really the second time, it just kind of held him back a little bit, and he was in the flow, he was getting better, we were getting excited, we were 2-2, and I think it's just that consistency. It's a consistency of learning it, of understanding it, and getting more comfortable and letting the game slow down. You want the whole thing to slow down. I mean, you watch these guys in the playoffs and everything's so slow and they're relaxed. And when EJ does that, he's spectacular. And I think we have to get that more from him.
That's Bills offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett talking about EJ Manuel. Speaking of quarterbacks, you're going to get a lot about Derek Carr over the next couple of days if you're getting set to watch the Senior Bowl. David Carr's younger brother, he used to play catch with Andre Johnson at the Houston Texans training camp when his brother was the quarterback there in Houston. Derek Carr, potentially and very likely a first-round draft pick, a quarterback out of Fresno State. We spoke with him and another group of reporters as Derek Carr came off the practice field earlier this week here at the Senior Bowl, and there's one thing for certain when you watch him play or listen to him speak. Derek Carr is absolutely brimming with confidence.
You've been out here for a little while now, and it's starting to kind of get that buzz to where you really are impressing people. I think with a win yesterday and being able to shoot those bullets through there, are you feeling confident and feeling yourself excel right on this stage?
Yeah, I'm always confident. You know, I can throw four picks and I'm still going to be confident. That's just my mindset. That's just how I am. But, you know, I just want to come out here and show these teams that, you know, I can be their franchise quarterback and that I want to be, you know. And, you know, hopefully it's working out. But those decisions, you know, they get paid way more than I do, you know, to make those decisions. I can't do that.
How great is the opportunity to where you put up ridiculous numbers, but, yes. you know, people are going to talk about the school and the conference, but you can do this with some of the nation's best seniors and show, hey, I can play with all these guys.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what that was kind of like a mission, you know, to show them these 3 days that, you know, I can complete passes against these guys too. So, you know, and that's no knock at the Mountain West, because the Mountain West has a lot of guys at this thing. So, you know, you can talk about conferences all you want, but there's a lot of talented people out here.
You mentioned your brother and his advice to you. Do you remember being a kid and throwing footballs with Andre Johnson and the Texans practice facility and all that stuff when your brother was had gone through the process you did?
Absolutely. I remember it, you know, just like it was yesterday. And I remember trying to run routes on Aaron Glenn. And Aaron Glenn's now a Jet scout, so I've gotten to talk to him, and we just sit here and laugh. And so, you know, and talking to Mark Bruner, playing catch with Mark Bruner, he's a Steelers scout. You know, just talking, how's the family? You know, there shouldn't be any kids asking the scouts how their family is and stuff like that. You know? So it's pretty funny.
Do you hear the question sometimes, Derek, about the system? Fresno, and you know, they say a lot of screens, bubble screens, and things like that.
Yeah.
What do you say when you hear that kind of thing? You know, people wondering, can he throw downfield well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things, you know, me and Jalen talked about today, and he's my roommate during this week, and you know, we said, let's hit a deep post today. So we went and hucked one 60 yards, and he went and got it. You know, so we just wanted to show, you know, it's fun. You know, the coaches were calling the routes, and we're like, hey, can we throw a deep post? And the guy's like, sure, you know, go ahead. And so he understands. You know, so he let us do it, and Jalen did a great job of winning. Go get it.
Derek Carr, the quarterback from Fresno State, look for him to start the game for the South team on Saturday at 4 p.m. Another guy to watch for has already made his mark in one of the most historic plays in college football history. Chris Davis, cornerback from Auburn, the author of Kick 6, Auburn's historic comeback win in the Iron Bowl against Alabama. That play's been seen over and over and over again. Well, Chris Davis has been here all this week at the Senior Bowl playing cornerback and trying to demonstrate that he's much more than just a return specialist. He wants the NFL to know that he can play cornerback as well.
I've been asked about the kick return a lot. You know, I try to put it behind me, you know, and try to move on. You know, I'm still chasing out the career in football.
Do you think that has almost become you as a player to some people?
Yeah, I definitely think that. You know, that was one of the greatest plays in college football. You know, and I appreciate being a part of that play. But like I said, I'm trying to move on and trying to chase a dream.
Chris, it's not a bad thing to be known for it. You know, and you see the reaction it gets from fans, people over around here want to get your picture and stuff. I mean, if you're going to be remembered for something, I know you've got more to do. That's a pretty good thing to be remembered for, though.
Yeah, that's a pretty good thing. You know, that come with making a play like that, you know, all that attention. But, you know, I stay humble throughout the whole process and looking forward to playing more football.
Do you think people overlook you and what you can do on defense at corner? Because of that play that kind of overshadows everything else about you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, that's what I'm out here to prove, that I can play corner also.
How'd you think the day went today?
I think the day was a pretty good day for me overall. Tried to come back and regroup from yesterday. You know, I had a pretty average day yesterday, and I think I came back and did that.
Chris Davis, cornerback from Auburn, cornerback that you will see on the field in the Senior Bowl, and you're going to see that play, that kick six return for the touchdown against Alabama, forever and ever from Chris Davis. Well, that's going to wrap up our week from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We want to thank you for listening all week. We'll tell you that tomorrow night, Friday night, we will be live and our studio in Orchard Park. We'll wrap up more from the Senior Bowl. Tomorrow night, we're going to hear from the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, for his take on the game on Saturday and what went down here during the practice week. We want to thank our producer, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Thanks very much for tuning in to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Senior Bowl on Buffalo Bills Radio.